Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 21 to 35. We're taking a short break from our series in Ephesians. During the Christmas time of year, our thoughts and the thoughts of many people are on the story of the birth of Jesus. And so we're going to reflect today on a bit of the story surrounding Jesus' birth. Next week is New Year's Day, and so we're going to do a little something different then as well. And then the following week, we'll start again with our series in Ephesians. So I'm going to start reading Luke 2, starting at verse 21, reading through verse 35. Follow along as I read. And remember, this is God's word that guides us in our faith and our life. So let's listen. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's the word of God. In January 1945, just 6 months before the end of World War II, a few hundred American and Filipino soldiers carried out one of the most daring and successful rescues in history. The story is recounted in a book called Ghost Soldiers. There was a Japanese prisoner of war camp on one of the Philippine islands that held hundreds of Allied soldiers and civilians. And many prisoners had died, and those that were still alive were not far from death. A few hundred American and Filipino soldiers traveled 30 miles behind enemy lines and arrived at this POW camp. And under the cover of night, this group surprised the Japanese forces in a coordinated attack and in about 30 minutes killed several hundred Japanese guards and soldiers. And the prisoners, after the initial belief of what was actually happening, they began to make their way toward the front gate. And there was a prisoner there named Tommy Thomas who was carrying a friend on his back who was too weak to walk. And he was moving as fast as he could toward the front gate. And on his way, he saw an Army Ranger. And this Army Ranger was leading people out of that prison. And he went up to him and he extended his hand and he said, are you an American? Boy, are we ever glad to see you. And he shook his hand with tears streaming down his face. Freedom. finally from this awful existence. And the ranger then led them through that gate to freedom. I can only imagine the kind of relief that Tommy Thomas experienced at that moment as he followed his liberators out of that death camp. Well, this in some ways gives us the sense of the kind of excitement that Simeon experienced when he saw Jesus as a baby there in the temple. Simeon anticipated for a long time this coming of the Messiah. The Messiah who would bring both comfort and redemption to his people. And when he saw this Jesus, his eyes, God gave him spiritual eyes to see, to recognize that this baby was the one that he'd been waiting for. This was the Messiah, the one who would bring salvation, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. This baby would bring salvation and would change the world forever. Finally. As we look back at the birth of Jesus, we shouldn't just think of it as this cute little story, as many in the world think of it. But when we think about this baby conceived in the womb of Virgin Mary, we should, along with Simeon, rejoice with great excitement. Boy, are we glad to see you. Because he's the one who came and brought redemption to his people. He's the one who changed our world forever. He's the one who freed us and gave us life. Behold, your Savior is born to bring you comfort and redemption. So rejoice in him. Rejoice in your Savior that has come. So let's put this story in context here. In the bigger story of Jesus' birth, God chose Mary and told her that she would that although she was a virgin, she would conceive a child. And this boy, she would give birth to a boy, and she was to name him Jesus. And he would be called the Son of the Most High, the one who would sit on the throne over a kingdom that would have no end. God told Mary great things about this son that would be born. And the Holy Spirit caused this child to be conceived and grow in the womb of Mary. And about 9 months later, Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem from their hometown of Nazareth for a census that the Roman Empire was conducting. And there in Bethlehem, in a manger, Mary gave birth to Jesus. And the wise men and the shepherds and the angels gathered to see this king, the Christ that has come. Well, in verse 21 of our passage, it says that they had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day. So 8 days after he was born, he was circumcised. And that's what the law had commanded. Every male child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. And it was at this circumcision that they actually named him. The Jewish people, the religious Jewish people, didn't and still don't officially name their children until the eighth day. And so at the end of 8 days, they brought him to be circumcised and they named him Jesus, which means salvation. And then they went back home until what our passage calls the time of purification. Joseph and Mary traveled to Jerusalem to go to the temple. And they had two reasons for this trip. The first reason was for Mary's purification. In Leviticus 12, it says that a woman, after she gives birth to a son, she's to wait 40 days. For this period of 40 days from the day of the birth, she was considered unclean. And so she had to wait 40 days until she was to be considered clean. So 33 days after the circumcision, they traveled down to Jerusalem to the temple. And on that last day of being unclean, she was to offer a sacrifice she was to bring a sacrifice to the priest, and it would be offered on her behalf, and she would be then declared clean and she could return to normal life. So that was the first reason for this trip, to carry out the ceremony of purification for Mary. The second reason for the trip was to present Jesus before the Lord. He was the firstborn son of Mary. And according to the law, every firstborn son had to be redeemed. And this custom began 1,500 years before Jesus was born. When the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, God commanded Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. But of course, Pharaoh refused, and as a result, God sent the 10 plagues to Egypt. And the 10th of these plagues was the death of every firstborn male. But the night that the angel would come and kill every firstborn male, God commanded the people to take a lamb and to sacrifice that lamb and take it and paint it on the doorframes of their homes. And when the angel came and saw the blood on the doorframe, he would pass over that house, and the firstborn son in that household would be spared. The lamb died in the place of the firstborn son. So after that, God commanded, in order to remind people of this great event, God commanded that every firstborn son was to be redeemed. And so Mary and Joseph had to bring Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord and to redeem him by paying the ransom price, which was 5 shekels. It was the redemption price for the firstborn son. This was a reminder of what God did 1,500 years earlier in Egypt. Well, of course, this wasn't simply a reminder of what God did 1,500 years earlier at the Passover, but it was also symbolic of what Jesus would do later in his life. He would become that sacrifice, that he would pay the price of redemption with his own blood. And he would redeem us from our sins. So Joseph and Mary are on their way to Jerusalem, to the temple. They're traveling from Nazareth to bring Jesus to the temple to pay the redemption price, and also to offer the sacrifice for purification. Meanwhile, as Mary and Joseph are on their way to Jerusalem, Simeon, led by the Spirit of God, also went to the temple. We don't know much about Simeon. In our passage, only good things are said about him. He was a righteous and devout man. He was a God worshiper, and it says that he was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. But he wasn't the only one waiting for the Messiah. The next passage, after the passage that we're looking at today, it talks about a woman named Anna, a prophetess, who was also waiting for the redemption of Israel. At that time in Israel, many of the Jews, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, many of the Jews had perverted the true religion, which was a religion of faith in the Messiah. They had lost sight of the Messiah, and they had reduced the Jewish religion to a law-based, works-based religion. They didn't need the Messiah anymore. They thought they were good enough. They were righteous enough, and so they stopped looking for him. But there were faithful men and women who continued to anticipate the coming of the Messiah. Simeon and Anna were part of this faithful group, and they longed for the promised one who would bring both comfort and redemption for his people. They longed for the comfort and redemption, this comfort and redemption, for a variety of reasons. Their physical day-to-day life was hard. The conditions in Israel during the time of Jesus' birth, the conditions were bad. Israel lost their independence. They were crushed under the weight of oppression and taxation from the Roman government. They longed for comfort and redemption from this oppression. The Jewish leaders, they also received oppression from the Jewish leaders. The Jewish leaders had become perverted and corrupt and oppressive as well. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish leaders, they perverted the Jewish religion, reducing it simply to a bunch of man-made rules to gain your own salvation, to work out your own righteousness. And later in his life, Jesus accused these leaders, who were supposed to be shepherds caring for the flock, he accused them of abusing and killing the sheep and feeding on them instead of caring for them. And so Simeon and Anna and others like them were longing for comfort and relief from this oppression as well. Most important of all, though, Simeon and Anna were anticipating the coming of the Messiah who would redeem them from their sins, who would bring them comfort in the midst of their broken, sinful lives. They knew, they recognized that they weren't good enough. They needed someone to save them from their sins. They needed redemption. Built into this concept of redemption in the Jewish frame of mind was the idea of one dying in the place of another. The whole sacrificial system pointed to this. So when someone brought a burnt offering or a sin offering, they would place their hands on that animal and their sins would symbolically transfer to that animal, and that animal would die instead of them. The animal died in the place of the sinner to redeem the sinner. And so they anticipated this, the one who would come and redeem them. And built into that idea of redemption was the one who would come and die in our place. They were waiting for, they were anticipating the Messiah who would come, who would bring comfort and redemption. We are people who are broken, broken in our sin, who endure the difficulties and struggles of this life, who endure heavy, heavy burdens of sorrow. And we also long for the comfort and redemption of God. Well, He has come in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This baby has come to bring comfort and redemption to people like you and me. Well, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God told Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. And just a little aside here, the word Christ is the Greek term for anointed one. And the Hebrew term for anointed one is Messiah. So think of when I talk about Messiah and Christ, those are two synonymous terms. They are the anointed one, the one speaking of the Savior King who would come and rule in a kingdom that would have no end. So God promised Simeon that he would see the Lord's Christ, his anointed one, before he died. And reading in between the lines at this point, Simeon is regarded as a very old man at this point. He'd been waiting for the Messiah his whole life, so it seems that he's old. Well, on that day, the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple. And when Joseph and Mary and Jesus arrived, Simeon knew that this was the one. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he could see that this 40-day-old infant was the one that they had been waiting for, the promised God, the promised one of God, the Savior. And he took the boy in his arms. And he began to praise God and he said, "Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. Just as you promised, my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." At this time in Israel, there were a lot of Zionist kind of people. Jewish people who had wanted to see the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. They wanted to see a Messiah who would come and throw out the Romans and reestablish the nation of Israel and the superiority of this nation over the whole world. But Simeon was not under this delusion. He saw that Jesus would bring salvation for both Jews and Gentiles alike. He said that Jesus, this 40-day-old boy, infant, would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Through this boy, the Gentiles would have their eyes opened. They would understand the mystery of the gospel of salvation, and they too would be brought into this body of Christ. Jesus came to save people from all nations and languages and cultures. He would be a light of revelation for the Gentiles. And it also says that he would come and give glory to Israel. How does the coming of Christ bring glory to Israel? Well, first, the idea of glory was associated with the Shekinah glory. So when the Jewish people heard of this word glory, they associated it with the Shekinah glory, which was the cloud of glory, the cloud of light, the manifestation of God's presence with them. And it was this glory that lived there in the temple, this cloud of light. The Shekinah glory, though, over time it faded there in Israel. It was a glory that was remembered in the past. But now, through the person of Jesus Christ, the glory of God returned. And God lived among them in a very tangible, visual, personal way. The glory of Israel had returned. And a second way that Jesus brings glory to Israel is that through Christ, the whole world would get to see that the true Jewish religion was in fact true. Jesus would be the quintessential proof that the concept of the Jews, this faith in the Messiah, was really right after all. The promises of God, the reasons for the sacrifice, the whole ceremonial system, the weird things that they did, the prophecies about the coming Messiah, the fanatical obsession over keeping the Word of God pure and unchanged. The world looked on them and thought they were weird. They laughed at them because of the weird things that they did. But with the coming of Christ, He would validate everything that they've done. They really are following the true God. They really had their hope in the Messiah. He would be the glory for the people of Israel. This newborn boy would be a light for the Gentiles, and he would be a glory to Israel. Well, Joseph and Mary, they heard Simeon say these great things about their son. They knew that Jesus was special, but they didn't understand the magnitude. They couldn't comprehend the magnitude of who he was. And so the things that Simeon said amazed them. And Simeon, noticing their amazement, turned to them. And he spoke to Mary personally. And he said three things to her. First, he said, "Mary, this boy is going to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel." He said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many people." And what he means is this: Jesus was going to bring about a great reversal. Those who seemed to have it all together, those who seemed to be righteous, who were self-righteous, who were rich, who had power, who seemed to be blessed in this life, Jesus will bring them crashing down. And everyone will see that they actually don't have anything. But those who are poor in spirit, who recognize how helpless and poor they are spiritually, and how desperately they need God, those who trust in Christ, Jesus would raise them up and give them absolutely everything. He was going to bring down the self-righteous and the arrogant, and he would raise up the ones who are poor in spirit, those who are resting in Christ. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector illustrates this well. The Pharisee, who was important in Israel, he was powerful, he was influential. He went to the temple. And he said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." He didn't need any forgiveness, he felt. He was righteous. He was arrogant and self-righteous. The tax collector, on the other hand, stood at a distance and he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus says that the tax collector went home justified. The righteous, the self-righteous, the arrogant will be destroyed, but the poor in spirit, they are raised up and given everything with Christ. This boy would cause the rising and falling of many people. Which one are you? Are you the one that Jesus will cause to fall because of your pride and self-righteousness? Or are you the one that He will raise up because you see your desperate need for Him? The second thing that Simeon said about Jesus was that He had a hard road ahead of Him. He said at the end of verse 34 that Jesus would be a sign that would be opposed. He is a sign that would be opposed. Simeon was under no delusion that Jesus was going to have an easy road to the throne. He didn't have an easy mission. But he would be opposed at every turn. He would be hated. He would be slandered, falsely accused, unjustly condemned, and executed on a cross. He had a hard road ahead of him. And carrying on this thought, Simeon said, as an aside to Mary, he said, a sword is going to pierce your own soul as well. You're happy and proud now. You're a happy and proud mother now. But this is going to be a painful road as you watch the world oppress and kill your own son. The word that's translated here as sword, it refers to a specific kind of sword. And William Hendrickson noted in his commentary that it's this large, broad sword that symbolizes intense pain. She would watch the world oppose her son, condemn him, and hang him on a cross. Perhaps one of the most severe and agonizing sorrows that we can know in this world. This infant boy was going to walk this hard road, and it would be painful for Mary also to watch. So first, this infant boy would cause the rising and falling of many people. Second, he would travel a hard road. And third and last, Jesus would cause the true thoughts of many people to be revealed. By the way that people respond to Jesus, we get to see if people actually do genuinely love God. Every single Jew who genuinely loved God would eventually embrace Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior. If they loved Jesus and followed Jesus, it was proof that they genuinely loved God. But those who rejected him and hated him proved that they actually hate God. There were lots of people in Israel who pretended to love and serve God. They spoke the right words and they said the right things. But by their reaction to Jesus, they revealed that they don't actually care about God at all. If they hate Jesus, then it proves that they really hate God. If they love Jesus and follow him, then it proves that they really love God. By your reaction to Jesus, your true thoughts are revealed. And this is the measure still for us today. There are lots of people who say they love God, but who refuse to follow Jesus. And if you refuse to follow Jesus, if you minimize who he is and say, you know, he's just a good guy, or if you live however you want, refusing to follow his commands, then it reveals the actual thoughts of your heart. That you don't really love God, as you say. Your response to Jesus shows what you really believe. This infant boy will cause the thoughts of many hearts to be revealed. So this 40-year-old boy was carried there into the temple by his mother. And it turns out that he was the Christ, revealed to Simeon as the Christ, the Savior, the one who would bring redemption and comfort to his people. And Simeon, perhaps more than anyone else at that time, knew that this boy was God's salvation. And he rejoiced in his coming. At this time of year, we do think of this story of a baby being born in a manger, and we think of it as this cute story. But our world so quickly disregards the part of the story that this newborn boy was the long-awaited Savior. The Savior who would bring redemption and comfort to his people. As we think of this story, the story of the birth, we must remember, as Simeon did, the magnitude of who this boy really was. He's the one to bring redemption and comfort to his people. As you go through this life and you face struggles of all kinds, you have to look to this one, the Savior, who brings redemption and comfort to his people, to rejoice in his great coming. Tommy Thomas, with great joy, shook the hand of that ranger who came to free him and said, "Boy, are we glad to see you." As you think of the story of your Savior, have that same response in you. Boy, are we glad to see you. Because our comfort and our redemption rest in Him. For He would grow up and bring comfort and salvation to us as His people. Behold, your Savior is born. Rejoice in His comfort and in His redemption. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving God, we thank You for the work that You have done for us. That You have sent that promised Messiah, the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born, to become one of us, in order to be our representative before You, to live the perfect life, and to bring redemption and comfort to us by laying His life down on the cross. We acknowledge that too often we take this story for granted. We empty it of its power. Don't let us minimize it. But let us rejoice in the magnitude of who this baby was and is. How He grew up to accomplish our salvation. What a joyful day to see our Redeemer. And as we think back on the work that You've done, Lord Jesus, we look forward to and anticipate Your return once again. When You will finish the work that You began, You will bring it all to completion. Let Your name be praised because of Your great work, and let us rejoice in You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.